Welcome to the Should Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of ESPN Las Vegas will join us. We will go over the World Cup. Half the final is set. Spain with a pretty convincing 2-0 victory over France. We'll go over the England-Argentina match on Wednesday, what he expects there, what he expects in the final, some baseball, some trade deadline. Excited to talk to Jeff, but I'll start with recording this right as the All-Star game started and just wanted to get this up and get this out. So I won't have any opinions right now on the All-Star game, but I will say Monday, the Home Run Derby, kind of as expected, that format was an absolute smash. Got rid of the clock. Enough of this, you know, hit one ball before it even lands. We're hitting another ball and you can't even keep track of everything. That was a great format. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. It was very competitive. Now, the Netflix production of it certainly could have used some help. I mean, we got Netflix. We got to see where the ball lands. You can't have the pitcher's view where we see the ball get hit. We don't track it. We don't follow it. The ball leaves the bat and that's the last we see of the ball. I think CeCe Sabathia asked James Wood about the new format, if this was going to help him or hurt him. I don't think CeCe realized James Wood was not participating in the Home Run Derby. Wood handled it, was polite about it. But there, man, when you don't do baseball and you try and parachute yourself into baseball, it shows. The production of it was rough, but it was good and it didn't drag on forever. You know, sometimes these home run derbies, they go three and a half hours. And you're just like, man, it's 11 o'clock at night. We're still doing this. We're still hitting home runs. Berman's going back for the 9 millionth time. But it started a little late. We had the introductions and Michael Buffer, national anthem. They didn't get going until like 8:30. You know, our guy Ben Rice did not show through. I thought the pitcher was throwing him some, like the ball had a little cut on it. So I don't know that Rice, you know, had the best setup for success. But you know what? You bet on batting practice. You get what you deserve in these things. But it was good. It was quick. It was fun. You could follow the ball. You could really appreciate the skill and the power of these guys. And it wasn't the frenetic, chaotic pace of just hitting a million balls at once. You could really enjoy it. And it's just a hell of a comeback by Walker. Walker was at least 10-1 live in the middle of his round. He was plus 500 entering the last round. He was plus 750 before the Derby. And just a tremendous comeback. Homer after homer. Everyone booing him. Everyone rooting against him. It is kind of funny. The guy makes $800,000 a year. And he's a good player. He's going to get his money with a long-term deal eventually if he keeps this up. But to basically double your salary and more than that in one night by winning the Derby. Alonso did the same thing when he was a young player in 2019. That was cool. And just, man, that's a lot of pressure. You're playing for $1 million. And it's not like he's one of these guys where $1 million is just, you know, it's one of the millions. He's there's a little pressure on him and a good performance and a good night all the way around. I thought a very competitive event, a very fun event, and all of those changes were welcome ones. So we'll get Jeff's thoughts here in a minute on the soccer, on the baseball. I continue to just look at these teams in the American League. We talked about the Red Sox the other day. They're 22-1, down to 18-1 at DraftKings, 16-1 at FanDuel. That's just an American League where all of these teams, except for the A's, the Royals, and the Angels, all of these teams are live. So the Tigers, I would imagine, keep Skubal. They can make a run. I wouldn't mind them at plus 700 for the division. The Orioles still have a lot of ability. They're in the 40-1 range to win the American League. If you told me one of those teams is like in the ALCS, it would not shock me whatsoever. But we'll get to Jeff here in a second. It'll be a little bit of a quicker pod because I know Jeff has to run, but we'll get be a little bit of a quicker pod. Just quickly on the soccer, the match on Wednesday, England to advance minus 125, Argentina to advance plus 105. And man, this is about as even as it gets when you look at the three-way line. England to win in 90 minutes plus 170, the draw is plus 185. Argentina on the three-way line plus 185. So basically all three outcomes are within a dime of each other. All three outcomes are within you know, 10, 15 cents of each other. Both teams to score minus 120. I'm just a casual soccer fan, but England, both teams to score has cashed 3 in a row for them. Both teams to score has cashed 4 in a row for Argentina, and Argentina's allowed 7 goals in the 4 games in the tournament. So Argentina defensively has not been great. So both teams to score minus 120 is not one I would mind. And plus 185, that's about as thin as it gets for a draw. But the books are telling you, hey, this is a total coin flip and expect this to go to extra time. Expect this to go to maybe penalty kicks here. So don't mind the draw plus 185. Think about the draws when you're getting the 285s, the 3-1s. The plus 185 is a little thin, but it's probably thin for a reason. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, 1-1 type of game and we go to extra time, go to penalty kicks. I think should be a competitive match and the winner will take on Spain. Spain was a pretty big underdog. An underdog, a plus price just to advance, a big underdog to win in, you know, relatively big underdog to win in 90 minutes, and they did it pretty convincingly. So it would either be Spain versus England or Spain versus Argentina. And that will be Sunday in East Rutherford. So the World Cup, I keep using the term, a good companion. 104 games throughout the summer. We've got two more. We're on to 102 with two left here. I'm not sure if we're counting the third place game, but you get the idea. Been over 100 games. It's been fun, but it will be coming to an end. And you know what? You look up in just a couple weeks until preseason football, and that's when the fun starts again. Preseason will be back. College football will be back shortly after, and we will be off and running for the football season. But let's talk to Jeff Parles. Let's get his thoughts. The soccer, the baseball, that is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Been More podcast. He is back. Jeff Parles, ESPN Las Vegas. Jeff, half of the final in the World Cup is set. We'll discuss that. We got some baseball. First off, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming on.
It's good to be with you, buddy. It's kind of crazy. We're already midway through July. Before you know it, we will be fully ingrained in preseason NFL football. And before you know it, the Jets will be losing to Robert Saleh and the Titans in week one. So we're in great shape here, Will.
I have used the term plenty of times. Your audience is probably sick of it by now. World Cup's been a nice companion for the summer, even if you're like mildly into it and only mildly into it. 104 games to break up the time from, you know, the end of the Knicks beating the Spurs and the Spurs gagging that series away to the start of football. It's been a nice little filler. Spain has advanced 2-0. Did you expect that to happen? Were you surprised? I know France was obviously favored. How surprised are you, if at all, with that result we just saw?
I was surprised how non-competitive it was. That's what I was most surprised at. I was talking to another friend of mine on Monday night. Like, I think France will win, but if I looked up at the end of 90 and Spain won 1-0 and controlled all the possession and France really didn't have many good scoring opportunities, I wouldn't be surprised. And the only difference with what that was it was 2-0 instead of 1-0. Look, if Spain plays like that, neither team that plays on Wednesday is going to be able to beat them in East Rutherford on Sunday. And this has been the thing with Spain the whole tournament, right? Well, they have just defended at just an unreal level. They now have tied Italy from, funnily enough, a run where Italy has not been in the World Cup three straight cycles, but Italy had a 37 match streak of not getting beaten. Now Spain has matched that. And I would be very surprised if it does not reach 38 on Sunday. If they just defend so well, Will. They defend as a unit. They're good. They're good in net. They have explosive score. They're explosive up front. They're just such a well put together team. And this is the thing with the national teams too. From time to time, like, you see talent, but you don't see buy in. That's kind of what's happened to Brazil since they won their last title in 2002. They have these amazing individuals, but they don't have a buy in. France bought in these last few cycles. This Spanish team is unbelievably bought in to what their system is. I would be very surprised if they are not lifting the trophy on Sunday afternoon at MetLife. I just don't think either Argentina or neither Argentina nor England have a shot unless if Spain does not play at the level they did today defensively and they played at this level the whole tournament, basically.
England and Argentina to advance. England minus 120, Argentina even money. The money line, England plus 175, draw plus 185, Argentina plus 190. So, I mean, you're looking at the three-way line, Jeff. You can basically, all three possible results with all within a dime or so of each other. What do you like?
I think England will win. I think England will win. I do not have confidence in finishing in regulation, Will. So I'd be very cautious of taking the juicier price for them to win in 90 plus stoppage. I think this has extra time written all over it. Both these teams played extra time in the round of 16, in the quarters. Argentina obviously played extra time in the round of 32, and somehow Houdini'd their way past Egypt in the round of 16. Argentina was very impressive in the group stage, but none of those teams that were in their group are any good. They've been very unimpressive, despite the fact that they're here in the knockout stage. England, look, I still think England, what they did at Azteca is the best win of this tournament, period. Like, they were a man down for 45 minutes and still found a way to win in truly the only true road environment in this World Cup, not to besmirch the U.S. crowds in Seattle or the Canadian crowds in Vancouver, but that crowd for Mexico and Azteca is just different than anything else in North America. And England won down a man for that long. And then they did not. I know people were making a big deal about what Tuchel said after the match against Norway. He was right. They did not play well in that match. Norway was the better team for the majority of that match. But credit to England and Jude Bellingham for finding a way. This England team is very different than past England teams. They actually are very mentally tough and are more mentally tough than their opponent every single step. I mean, they're down a goal against DR Congo late. They find a way. What I said in Azteca, again, they did not have their A game against Norway. This is a mentally tough team and a very talented. Again, I don't think they'll beat Spain, especially with Spain at their best is better than anyone that's left in this tournament. But I think England advances. I would just lay $1.20 on the two advance or see what the in-game market does. I'm very curious to see what the computers do with this in-game market, because I know Argentina going into this tournament was power rated higher than England. And the market has changed because Argentina has been so unimpressive these three knockout stage games. I would not be surprised if the computers change that, especially if Argentina is the better in a play early in the match.
What about both teams to score? England, that's hit three in a row. Argentina, that's hit four in a row. And Argentina's conceded seven goals in four matches. It's a good question. I know the under, over under, the under is heavily juiced it here. Under is heavily juiced at -165. But as I look at that, what do you expect in the final? What's your prediction right now in the final? It's Spain over who and what's the score?
Spain 1, England 0. Spain 1, England 0. That's what I got. I think Spain is going to be able to play however they want. And England has got to be, even though they've been so mentally tough and they played very well in this tournament, they got to play at a higher level than they played against Norway and a higher level than they played against DR Congo. They need to be pretty darn close to the level they played against Mexico. But keep in mind, Mexico is better to play for about half of that game too. So you do that against Spain, you're going to get beat. But I think Spain 1-0, they raised a trophy for the second time in their history. They win on Sunday.
Both teams to score -120 for this one.
Don't mind that. England 2-1 makes sense to me. England 2-1 makes sense against Argentina. That makes sense.
Anything else soccer-wise? Any, you know, Golden Boot? Any other awards interest you? You want to move on to baseball?
Nah, I really don't. I mean, look, you kind of missed the mark on everything at this point. So just keep in mind that even if Spain wins on Sunday, it's going to be someone else. The interesting thing would be if England demolishes Argentina and Bellingham is not England's best player, I'm curious what could happen in that scenario. I'm just curious, because that could be, we could get some weird stuff then in that scenario, Will.
All right, moving along to baseball here. The biggest name dealt at the trade deadline will be who?
Can I tell you who it won't be?
Sure.
It's not going to be Lindor. I just don't see it, because I think the Mets would be selling on pennies on the dollar at this point. And I think there's going to be an arrogance there from the front office, even though there's no reason to have it, because other than the luck box that was that fun 2024 season in the second half, Stearns' tenure has been an abject disaster. And I think they're just going to hold on to Lindor one more year. And then if they're not good next year post-lockout, then that will be that. But I don't think he's being dealt. Here's the problem, Will. Here's the problem with everything on the way of the deadline. You have an American League that you can make an argument that basically everyone in the American League is alive except for Kansas City and the Angels. Now, I would argue the A's are not alive either. But you could argue everyone else is
A's are done.
Yeah, sir. So fine. 12 out of 15.
I agree.
And the A's are in a bizarre situation where they can't trade any of their young guys because they can't do a fire sale before they move to Vegas. Because that will be a way to just piss off the fans here and basically all the negative thoughts that fans have had will be then shown up if they were to sell. So the A's, like Jeff McNeil's probably the biggest name that gets traded from the A's, right? Like, that's not a big name. That's a nice role player. That's not more than that. The Angels, like, do you think they'd move Soriano? Like, do you think Trout, like, they could move Trout. Like, this could finally be the year they move Trout. He's healthy. Like, if you're the Phillies, like, you need a center fielder, why not? Like, that would make sense. And then the Royals are, like, other than Bobby Witt, who's really, like, worthy in that scenario, and they're not trading Witt. So that complicates the American League side. And then, look, the Mets, if I were running the Mets, I would make everyone but Soto, Ewing, and Benj available. Everyone else? Who do you want? Who do you want? You want to give me a huge package for Nolan McLean because you think he's been unlucky this year? Fine with me. You want to give me something good for Lindor? Sure. You want any of those minor league pitchers who've been back and forth? Fine. I just think that they're not as close as they think. Like, I'll ask you, Will, if we're looking at genuine big names that could go, it probably starts in San Francisco, right? Like, that's probably where it starts. But then, is Matt Chapman really that big of a name in 2026 at this point? So, like, I don't think there's, like, the only one that I could see go is Skubal. But I think the Tigers would have to come out of the All-Star break and have a bad stretch because they're still in this. And they, as bad as they are, they're only 6.5 out in the Central, and the White Sox aren't gonna hold up the rest of the year. Well, they're just not. And the Guardians are not that good either. So to answer your question, like, it's a very complicated deadline because of the mediocrity of the American League and the fact that in the NL, it's the Rockies, the Mets, the Giants, and the Reds are the only teams that are completely out of it. The other, actually, you know what? I'll give you one name actually. Fernando Tatis Jr. If the Padres continue to lead balloon like they have the last month, that's the name that could go. That's actually, you know what? That's my answer to your question. Fernando Tatis Jr. is the one that goes at the deadline. That's the biggest name.
You don't think they deal Miller?
Well, is he a bigger name than Tatis Jr.?
No, that's a good point. A
probably
good
is at this point, right?
So, I mean, he's more impactful.
Yeah, I mean, look. They're the interesting one, right? Because they've led balloon the last month. So if they just continue to fall apart, like there could be a world where they, Tatis and Miller are the guys that are the two biggest names that go because the Padres have fallen out of it.
If you had to bet one of these, American League, to win the American League, and I think out of one of these three, I just got a feeling one of these three will be like in the ALCS. The Red Sox, who have very good pitching and have played well. The Red Sox 18-1, the Tigers 30-1. The Orioles 40-1. Is there a bet there? Do you like one more than another?
Well, couldn't you argue you missed a boat on the Red Sox at this point? Couldn't you argue that?
18-1 is not bad. 18-1 is still not bad. I know it was 22-1 when we were doing it the other day, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, so that's not so. All right, 22-18 is not a horrible drop. It's not like they were. It's not like they were 38-1 and now they're 18. I don't trust Detroit, but if they keep Skubal, like. If you told me they were in the ALCS, I wouldn't be shocked, right? Like, they're the tale of 2 years, right? Like, 2 years that they came on strong at the end of last year was the melt, even though they ended up getting to the DS and losing in heartbreaking fashion to the Mariners. I don't trust, even though I picked Baltimore preseason to win the American League, I just don't trust their pitching. I just don't think their pitching is good enough. I would go in the order as you read them. Boston, Detroit, Baltimore. That would be the order that I would bet them. Look, the Red Sox have found something, Will. They found something. And if that pitching can hold up, which I think it can. I mean, look, the AL is such a train wreck that Boston could end up being the top wild card pretty easily, right? Or excuse me, not the top wild card, the second wild card. And then you throw them into a series against either the Rays or the Yankees in a best of three. And look, I think they'd have a hard time beating the Yankees in a best of three, but I would take my chances with that pitching against Tampa. If that's the 4-5, Will.
Let's go rapid fire here. You can just do one word answers if you want. Division winner, NL East.
Braves, even though I'm a little worried with the injuries, but I'll still go with Atlanta.
AL East.
Yankees. I still don't buy the Rays, Will. Still don't buy them.
What do you project for when Judge gets back? Can they do this without Judge? It's, you know, he's not back until, you know, Labor Day or something. Is that, can they manage that?
Well, they just got to be within 3 games. They got to be where they are right now at Labor Day. If they're there with at Labor Day, I think they'll win the division. So just got to stay, play them even the next month and a half. And I think they're capable of that.
AL Central.
Guardians. I just don't buy the White Sox to hold up the whole way.
Tigers at plus 700 enough for you to take a shot?
Need a little more, but there are worse 7-1 bets out there.
AL West.
I'll go Seattle, but I have no confidence at all. No confidence at all.
What do you think the Yankees do at the deadline? What do you think they will do? What do you think they should do?
Need lineup help, obviously. You know, would you just try to go and just try to get as many pitching assets as you humanly can and say, try to score more than 3 runs on us a night? Like, wouldn't you just, especially if Judge is going to be out for, like, let's say you take your Labor Day, for example, wouldn't you just try to go like, you know what, we're going to try to win games 3-2, 4-3, 3-1 for the, and then once we get to the playoffs, all right, try to beat us. Like, I wouldn't mind going events against conventional wisdom and just say, you know what, we're just going to get as many pitching assets as humanly possible and try to score 4 runs against us.
Who does that entail?
Well, wouldn't you just try to go in the scenario where if the Padres fall apart, then you just go for Miller and you just try to go with a, hey, we're going to shut this thing down at the sixth inning moving forward? Like, don't you try that? They were kind of trying to do that last year. So, I mean, look, again, Will, it is just complicated because of the lack of options that are out there. They really need, really, this deadline needs either the Tigers, the Twins, or one of those NL West or Central teams to really fall out of it the next 2 weeks, and then it could become more interesting. And the other thing is, too, like, Washington's probably out of it, but what, like, who do you want, starter? Like, which of their pitchers do you really want if you're the Yankees? So,
definitely again, nobody in the bullpen.
The cloudiness of what this deadline is going to look like for who's truly out of it makes this a little bit convoluted.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you coming on. It's always good to see you, and appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Friday. See you then.